Okay, I think we are going to cut you off so that you can finish it at home. Actually, does it continue? Hopefully. Anyway, you'll figure it out. Thank you for doing that. Appreciate it. It was a lot of nuts and bolts, a lot of business. So we're going to end really quick with a little bit of almost at the end of something like this, you can almost say, like, what are we all doing here? Maybe that's just me. What is this church thing? What are we doing with church? I often ask, where's church going? How long will it continue in the way that it's always been? Because we've always done it that way. A lot of people are asking questions about what we do and why. So I maybe just wanted to end with some verses and then a quote, and I think you'll see where it all goes. Okay? So first verse, Exodus 3. We talked about the hero's journey, the beginning of the year. We talked about the Exodus story. Moses, out in the desert. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Moses, as you know, then became the hero, led his people out into the desert, God's people out into the desert, where this happened. Exodus 13, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. So in the story, God appears as fire, and then God appears as fire and cloud, constantly with them, fire and cloud. A little bit later in their journey, as Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. So it was a tent where holy things would happen, almost a temporary temple. And the cloud would come and speak to Moses. So we've got fire, fire, and cloud, cloud. Later, Exodus 40, the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during all their travels. So again, fire, fire and cloud, cloud, fire and cloud. The Jews called this the Shekinah glory of God. And it was this word not in the Bible, a word they kind of used to describe this presence, this dwelling of God in fire and cloud, which shows up in the story constantly. So eventually, the people leave and they begin to build a temple when they get their land and the land flowing with milk and honey. So they get out of the desert. Years later, they go, they begin to establish Israel, and they build the temple. It's been said you can't emphasize how important the temple was to them too much. The temple was everything, even cosmic repercussions. The universe was held up by the temple and the law and by God. And when they built the temple, when they dedicated the temple, this is what it says happened. When the priests withdrew from the holy place, which was where the center of the temple where God dwelled, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. So the first temple is built, and again, using this symbol, the cloud enters into the temple. God is in the temple. Now, most didn't think that was the only place God was, but it was a very symbolic event of God approves and is in this temple. Long story short, temple's done, destroyed. Jews are in exile. They come back and build a new temple. And when they build the new temple, this is what happens. The people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. For the dedication of this house of God, they offered 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 male lambs, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats, one for each of the tribes of Israel. And they installed the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their groups for the service of God at Jerusalem, according to what is written in the book of Moses. Anyone notice anything? Where's the cloud? Where's the fire? This is from N.T. Wright through Richard Rohr. A lot of people are looking at this now. The cloud never comes to the second temple. The fire never comes. There is no dwelling of God, even symbolically, in that temple. And this is the temple that existed when Jesus comes on the scene. And so some would say, N.T. Wright being one of them, the Pharisees were probably a little embarrassed. We've got this temple, but where's the Shekinah? Where's the dwelling of God? Then in Acts, after Easter, resurrection, this happens. When the day of Pentecost came, which is 50 days after Easter, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And Peter gives this sermon about the Spirit of God coming to all people. And the first churches are formed based on arguably what? The Shekinah is on all of you now. The new temple is you. You are the temple. The cloud and fire is in you. The cloud and the fire is in all people. Now let's have a church and let's take care of people. Why? Because God dwells in them. Let's hang out and talk about this dwelling of God in us, which is all kinds of Paul's language about the new temple, the body of Christ, on and on it goes. Which brings us to a Hebrews passage, which we talked about on Good Friday. Actually, we just showed it. We've talked about it pretty often. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Now, again, focus on the most holy place. This is where God symbolically dwelled, in the place that no one could go to without sacrifice. Well, yeah, that's done. By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Why do we not give up meeting? Spur one another on toward love and good deeds and encourage one another. Because why? Because we are the temple of God. And the people out there are the temple of God, even if they don't know it. God dwells in us. So don't give up meeting. Why? Because we need to be reminded of that. I need to be reminded of it. You need to be reminded of it. We all, human race, needs to be reminded of it. Which leads me to a Thomas Merton quote, which I think sums it up so beautifully. I've used this quote before. I'm safe to say it's my favorite quote, which I say often if you know me. But this one really is, like truly, right now. I've talked about this one. There's no way of telling people they're all walking around shining like the sun. Here's the full before it. In Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, this is Thomas Merton speaking, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all those people, that they were mine and I theirs, that we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. In the shopping district, which is not where you realize things like this for me. Wow. It was like waking from a dream of separateness, of spurious self-isolation in a special world, the world of renunciation and supposed holiness. This sense of liberation freedom from an illusory difference was such a relief and such a joy to me that I almost laughed out loud. I have the immense joy of being man, a member of a race in which God himself became incarnate. I think man there is human. As if the sorrows and stupidities of the human condition could overwhelm me. Now I realize what we all are. And if only everybody could realize this. But it cannot be explained. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. So much good in this. Shopping district. Stupidities of the human condition. Liberation. Self-isolation. Renunciation. Supposed holiness. Telling, we all have these every week. Brussels. What's the world happening to? What's happening to the world? Talking to teachers. What's happening to the world? Nurses. What's happening to the world? Sorrow, pain, devastation, loneliness, suffering. Sometimes life really sucks. And in the middle of it, sometimes you get this realization and you laugh out loud. Why? Because the fire of God is in every human being. Man, if only I could understand it myself and communicate it. We're all shining like the sun. That to me is church. At the end of the day, what are we doing here? What do we gather here for? Why are we going to Bite to Go? Why are we doing a softball team? That's just for fun. No. Why are we praying? Why are we giving? Why are we gathering? Why are we singing? Why are we doing all of this stuff? To remember we shine like the sun. And it's pretty ironic that we come into this building that now has become this place where God dwells, when in reality God is in all of us. We are the temple, whether we're all in here or out there or wherever. And to remember that, to tell people that, to get to a place of immense liberation and joy and laughing out loud and smiling in the middle of a shopping district and saying, oh, wow, if only we, the human race, could understand this. Whew, that's pretty good stuff right there. Let's pray. God, church is a little weird sometimes, if we're honest. And trying to figure out what is divine, what is cultural, what is ego, what is pride, what is empty ritual, can be work. Throw in that there's a lot of pain and hurt and damage and wounds around this whole trying to figure it out, and it gets even more complicated. So we ask that the divine presence, that the fire and cloud in our souls is powerful. And inspiring and liberating and creative. And wild and revolutionary and out of control in love. We pray that we experience you in us, that we laugh out loud, that we smile, that we have joy amidst so much sorrow, and that we do all we can to break down the barriers, to clear out our souls so that the sun inside of us shines brightly. We love you. We thank you for this place. We thank you for the love of God. We all say amen. Thank you for being here this morning again. Have an awesome spring break for those of you who are in it. Go in grace and peace.